The Greenhouse Effect is a weekly podcast hosted by youth pastor Avery Bowman. This podcast is for teens and their parents. Our goal is to encourage, support, and strengthen the home. Contrary to popular belief, one can survive in this present culture while maintaining a personal relationship with Jesus. Join us each week as we learn from God's Word. Here is your host, Avery Bowman.
Happy Wednesday. I hope everyone's having an amazing day. Another awesome Wednesday here on The Greenhouse Effect, and I'm super excited to be with you today. For those of you that don't know me and I haven't had a chance to introduce myself yet, my name is Avery Bowman, and I have a huge passion for teenagers, for young people, for youth, and I have a passion for helping parents. And so I do want to set the stage and let each of you know that the topic that the Lord has put on my heart and that I've been praying over is a topic that is a little maybe of a touchy subject. And so when we get into this thing, I do want you to, each of you to know that in going into this topic and discussion that I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to say that people don't know how to parent, or if an individual teenager does say that he doesn't want anything to do with God, that it's the parent's fault. I think parents, that you're hard on yourselves in the sense that a lot of times we don't understand and we don't, recognize that our kids have to make that choice too. So, and getting into this, the whole topic that we're talking about is, how do you respond when your teenager shows very little to no interest in the things of God? And so if we're honest, by the time your teenager graduates high school and is making plans to leave the house, you've made a lot of investment into their life. There's a lot of time, effort, energy that goes into that. You've brought them to church. You've encouraged their involvement in youth group. You taught them everything that they know about the Bible. You prayed with them perhaps every night. And then they get into their teen years and they begin to say things like, I'm not sure about this Christian thing. I don't know if it's for me. I don't know if I really believe the Bible. I mean, really, do you really believe that the stories that are portrayed and told in the Bible, are they really true? And you may be listening and have teenagers and think, hey, my teenagers would never say that. And honestly, my response to you would be, I pray that you're right. I pray that your teenagers would never say that. But again, I work with teenagers, and so many times I'm having conversations with parents, and their teenagers are coming to them. These are the cookie cutter homes where everything seems to be great. Everything seems perfect on the outside. And then they're coming to them and they're saying those things to their parents, that they want nothing to do with God, that when they turn 18 years old, they're going to walk away. So what's our response? How do we respond to that? Do we just throw in the towel and submit to their will? Do we just allow them to do what they want? Do we blow up on them? Do we scream at them? Do we tell them that they're no longer welcome in our home? I mean, you say, why would you even say that those things would be a considered response? Because I know those responses. I've had conversations with individuals that have had those responses. And so understand that going into this conversation and every single episode and every single experience, rather, is extremely unique. So there's no textbook answer. There's not anything that is 100% black and white. If you do this, then you're going to be good. But I will tell you that there are a lot of answers in God's Word. And so I want to share some verses with you before we get started that will be an encouragement to you. They're always a massive encouragement to me. And honestly, I have to stay positive. Look, there's so much negative. There's so much discouragement out there. And that's one thing in working with teenagers, is we have to stay positive. And we have to translate that positivity to our teenagers. Look, they have enough negativity in their daily lives, and they're dealing with negativity on a daily basis, whether it's from social media, whether it's from news, whether it's from friends, whether it's from coaches or different outlets in their life. And we can't be individuals that are giving negativity. They need to see positivity. They need to see that we believe in them, that we're excited for them, that we're hyped for them. And so when we are dealing with things at home, when we do see situations that could be like, oh man, I don't know what to do in this certain situation, then we have to stay positive. We can't let them see the fear of like, oh, I think I'm losing them. And that fear of will paralyze and cripple us, and then we'll completely want to give up. So I want to give you some of these verses that are massive encouragement to me. And then I want to give you some helpful suggestions that I've put to use in working with teenagers over the past decade. And so Psalms 107, 28 through 30, the first set of verses here says, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses." Wow, thank you, Lord. "He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth unto them the desired haven." Hey, I'm just telling you that prayer is powerful. Prayer is so powerful. James 5, 14 through 16 says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Hey, do you believe in the power of prayer? Do you believe that when righteous men and women bind together and they make a pact and they get on their knees and they ask God to intervene in the lives of their children, do you believe that they can pray strongholds down? Do you believe that they can pray victory in their families' lives? Hey, I do. I believe it. I believe it all day, every single day. And an individual that would say, "Hey, don't tell me you're praying for me." Hey, that's sad. I'm just telling you today that I believe in the power of prayer. And when we're going into situations, hey, we have to have the belief that prayer works and prayer is powerful. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Man, I can't believe how encouraging this set of verses is to me, and how verbatim I've heard this verses on a weekly basis since the time that I've been probably in my mom's womb, right? And yet this verse still rings to me. It still convicts me, because you know how many times I lean unto mine own understanding? You know how many times that I'm so dependent upon my own strength? It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Look, we need to pray. We need to trust in the Lord. And we need to get off of our high horse of believing that we have the solutions and we have the methods and the ideologies that are going to turn things around, because our methods are not going to turn anything around in the lives. But I'm telling you right now, God's methods, they'll turn everything around. The power of prayer will turn everything around. Lamentations 3, 21 through 23. Man, this one gets me every time. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Oh my, aren't you thankful for hope? "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Look, I am so thankful for hope. Without hope, I don't know where I would be. Look, I've had some low points in my life. I've had some times where I was hopeless. And I honestly didn't even, I couldn't hold on to that glimmer of hope. But I say that I was hopeless, but even when I was hopeless, somebody had hope for me. And somebody believed in me. And somebody encouraged me. Somebody pulled me out of that pit that I was in. And His mercies are new every morning. And it wasn't until then that I could see that for myself again, that hope was renewed and refreshed in my life. I'm just telling you, have hope for your young person. They might be in over their head with something, but we have to have hope for them. Prayer, trust, hope. It's powerful. It's probably one of the most heartbreaking things ever to have a conversation with parents and they go on to tell me that their young person, their daughter or son just came to them and said, "Hey, mom, dad, when I turn 18, I'm never going to church ever again." And when you have that conversation with parents, they're absolutely devastated and they're hurting. So I have some suggestions for you here quickly that I would like to give you. Number one, check yourself. You say, "Hey, hold on, man. Your boys are only 4 years old. You have no idea what you're talking about to sit here and tell me to check myself. I'm already hurting from the situation that I'm going through with my young person, and then you're going to tell me to check myself." But here, again, I hope you know my intentions. I am simply encouraging you. I'm trying to lift you up and build you up. What I mean by that is, what are you feeling about the situation truly? How are you truly feeling about the situation of your young person coming to you and telling you, "Hey, look, we're never coming back to church. I don't want anything to do with God"? Are there any regrets that you have after hearing that? Are you beating yourself up about something that might have happened years ago? Are you blaming yourself from something? Because this is what I know. You have to remember that children have been rebelling against God since the beginning of time. They've been making their own decisions since the beginning of time. And you have to resist the urge to try and force change upon your children. Look, I know that it's a natural desire, but what it does is it closes off that communication. The only one that can give true change is God. You have to allow Him to be the one to give change that your son and daughter is searching for. Here's the thing. In a situation like that, when your son and daughter comes to you and tells you that they're gone, that day that they turn 18, there's a root to that. And it takes a lot of time and effort and energy to divulge what the root is. And so without patience, without prayer, without getting in God's word, without a lot of conversations, there in that first conversation, you're never going to know what that is. And so you have to turn to the Lord. You have to check yourself. You do have to examine and see, "Hey, did I do something? Was I inconsistent in some areas? Was I hypocritical in some areas? Did I say one thing and do another?" And so in doing some of that, you do have to be a little brutally honest with yourself. You might have to own up to some past mistakes that led up to the reason that they wanted nothing to do with church. But you know that the current reality is that that's how they're feeling today. So if you did everything right and they still are wanting to take off, then that's the reality. If you did make some mistakes in the past, then that's the reality. All we can do is move forward with where we're at today, but we got to stay positive about it. Hey, look, His mercies are new every morning. We have to press on. we can't bury our head in the sand and woe is me, I made some mistakes in the past and I've hurt my kid and so now I'm never going to do better and make things right. No. Hey, look, today's a new day. Let's do better today. Let's try and get out of the pickle that I was in today. Number two, the encouragement that I would have for you is to lean into your teenager during this time. You know what I've seen is that naturally during this time is that their questions will set you off and anger you. And the reason for that is that some of the questions and ideologies that they'll come to you with are off the wall. Look, sin is sick and twisted. And so when they come to you and tell you some off-the-wall, crazy things, I'm not even going to throw ideas out there, but I'm just telling you right now that some of the conversations that I've had with parents is absolutely heartbreaking. There's a lot of perversion out there in our world, and Satan has a heyday of infiltrating the minds of our youth. He does everything in his power to completely pervert the minds, and he will let the teenagers believe that what they are getting into is absolute truth. And that's the way that is going to make them happy and bring them fulfillment and contentment in this life and give them purpose. But we know what God's word says and we know what the truth of the matter is. That's not going to bring them happiness or contentment. And so sometimes naturally you're going to want to blow up and you're going to want to fly off the handle. But instead, I want to challenge you to model God's love and patience both verbally and non-verbally. Look, you don't have to think that you knew exactly what they were going to come and talk to you about. You don't have to pretend like you were ready for it, right? Because if we're being honest, some of the things that these teenagers are being infiltrated with, nobody's ready to have those kind of conversations. But you have to be determined to stick with them no matter what they're going through or what they're facing. Don't you think that God knew that they were going to go through this when he entrusted you to be their parents? You can't just jump ship on them. They're your children. They need you. I know it's a lot easier said than done because it's wreaking havoc on your family. It's destroying the peace in your lives and the peace in your homes. But it's still your teenager. It's still your child. And it at the end of the day, you have to be able to get to a point where you're able to get to the why. Why are they wrestling with their faith? What is the reason for that? There could be a deeper problem that they aren't being transparent about. Something could have happened at school. Something could have happened to them. Somebody could have abused them. There could be a deeper situation that they're not opening up and being honest about. And you might have to do some investigating for them to be honest. But here's the thing. When they do open up and talk to you, give them your full attention. Listen to them. This isn't your green light to go off and land blast them. Let me warn you, in the moment you'll want to. When they come off and tell you some of the things that they're involved in and doing and exploring and researching and wanting to do, you might want to wring their neck. You might want to, it might absolutely floor you. It might blow your mind. It might make you sick physically. But let me challenge you to pray on it. Go to the word on it. Seek counsel. Sleep on it. And then revisit the conversation with them at a later time. Look, I know that's a lot easier said than done. I know the majority of the things that we're talking about is a lot easier said than done. But I'm telling you that when you meet fire with fire, there's not going to be anything of benefit to come out of it. A soft answer still turneth away wrath. Number three, teenagers want more than your head knowledge of the Bible. You say, what do you mean by that? They want a personal relationship with you. Hey, find fun activities that interest your teenager and participate in those with them. It could be sports or video games, biking, jogging. I don't know what those activities are, but it's your job to figure out what they could be. It could be watching movies. You say, hey, I don't know. I've never even touched a video game controller. Hey, look, it's time to start. I've never played tennis a day in my life. It's time to start. I can't stand painting. Hey, it's time to start whipping out some Picasso YouTube videos. I don't know. All I know is that, look, your teenager wants a relationship with you. And if you're trying to get through to them, only having conversations with them when it's about the topic that absolutely infuriates them, that's not going to be how you're going to get through to them. You're not going to love them and have the patience that it takes if that's the only time that you're communicating with them, is trying to push your agenda and push your point. Number four, this is the most important one, and it can be the hardest when you're in the heat of it. Trust God. You have to trust and believe that God is working in your teenager's heart and life. Hey, God did with me. I remember individuals giving up on me. I remember people thinking, hey, look, he's not going to do anything with his life. He's going to, I remember when I left college, I had a couple individuals say to me, he's going to go be a drunk and this and that. I hadn't ever one time, I didn't have one demerit at college. They gave out hours and didn't have any hours. And somehow I was going to be out of the Lord's will and a drunk. And so, you know, individuals can write you off, but God never writes us off. And so when you feel inadequate, remember God is there. He's on the scene working it all together for his good. Your teen has to make their faith theirs, and they have to figure it out. They have to realize that it's not yours, it's not the churches or the schools, but it has to be theirs. And that's hard as a parent. That's hard because we want to make our faith theirs, but we have to allow God to do the work in their life. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate that in their life. And sometimes that means us sitting back and allowing that work to be done without our forcefulness. Look, I'm praying for you all. I'm linked arms with you all. I'm here for you. I'm cheering you all on. And I know that all things work together for good. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Pray. Trust in the Lord. And allow him to do a work in your teenager's life that only he can do. Look, the heated arguments, the yelling at them and grounding them and that stuff is probably only going to make matters worse. But be there for them to listen. Spark conversations. Ask them, hey, did I do something in the past that really was a turning point in offending you and making you upset? And then own up to it. Apologize. Prove with your actions and make it right and move on. Hey, I love each of you. I'm praying for each of you and your teenagers. Let's strengthen our homes for the next generation. God bless each of you. Have an amazing, amazing Wednesday.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review. The greatest trick Satan has ever pulled is convincing the world he does not exist. We have to live in light of the reality that he walks about seeking whom he may devour. He is alive and well today. Remember to work out your salvation today. May God bless you richly as you seek to walk with him.